So this is Psalm 69, and then Patsy's going to come and speak on it to us. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I've come into deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause. Those who seek to destroy me, I'm forced to restore what I did not steal. You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you. Lord, the Lord Almighty, may those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me. God of Israel, may those who seek you not be put to shame because of me. For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. I'm a foreigner in my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I'm the song of the drunkards. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love, in your great mercy. Turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my foes. You know how I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, and I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. May the table set before them become a snare. May it become retribution and a trap. May their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents. For they persecute those you wound and talk about the pain of those you hurt. Charge them with crime upon crime. Do not let them share in your salvation. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them, for God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. Then people will settle there and possess it. The children of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Patsy, let me pray for you as you speak to us. Father God, thank you so much for those words. They're difficult on our ears, aren't they, as we hear them. Please would you be with Patsy as she explains them to us, your words from long ago, and be with us as we hear them. Would you speak to us through them tonight? Amen.
Amen. We've just heard from Andrew and Lisa, and that's lovely. We knew Andrew a long time ago. I think my Andrew was that Andrew's Sunday school teacher, wasn't he? Yes. I'm going to talk to you about a different Lisa. I got to know Lisa as my friend at a work conference. I'd known her for years as she headed up a department that I liaised with a lot. but we'd never before chatted socially. At the conference, we quickly found out that we shared a love of both horse riding and Latin and ballroom dancing. Our friendship was cemented. After that, whenever we met at work, we had a quick catch-up. And 3 months later, in autumn 2017, when my son Ben was diagnosed with bowel cancer, Lisa was one of the people I told. A few months after that, when Lisa was herself diagnosed with bowel cancer, I was one of the people that she told. In every step of her surgery and subsequent chemotherapy, because I'd lived through it first with my son Ben, she came, we talked. I was very open with Lisa about how mine and my family's Christian faith had carried us through. It seemed that God had orchestrated our friendship for a reason. But when Lisa was first diagnosed, she was really angry with God, saying that if God was loving, he wouldn't let this happen to her. So even if he did exist, she didn't want anything to do with him. So I just carried on being her friend and praying lots. About a year after her treatment at a routine scan, the doctors found another tumour. After her surgery, she was told that her abdomen was so full of tumours that they could not remove them. Chemotherapy would extend her life, but this was terminal. I was so sad. Sad for Lisa. And upset that she seemed so disinterested in God. I wanted her to experience the incredible peace that I experienced through my relationship with Jesus. Over the following months, as well as texting encouragement and fun things, I started to text Lisa prayers and Bible verses. And amazingly, she struck up a friendship with the lady vicar at the Royal Marsden Hospital. So I don't know what you heard or what you were thinking as Mark read the Bible passage, but I want to look at it again through Lisa's eyes. So please, can I encourage you to have a Bible open at Psalm 69? And the first thing I want to note is a note that David has put there, King David. This psalm was written by King David. They're not all, but this one was. And he's written a note for the director of music that he wants the psalm sung to the tune of lilies. Hold on to that thought. I will return to it. So verse 1 says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck." Lisa was brought up going to Sunday school, but she didn't know God. She wasn't sure if he even existed. But as her health failed, she was prepared to call out to God for help on a, well, if you exist, do something basis. And maybe because she was angry with God, she told him exactly what she felt, just like the psalm. Verse 2, "I sink in the miry depths. I've come into the deep waters." Verse 3, "I'm worn out calling for help." I remember her saying that. Lisa said that she felt as if she was drowning in her situation. And we've probably all had experiences like that, where we've felt simply overwhelmed. What about verse 4? "Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause." For Lisa, the enemy was the cancer within her, And I've heard several people with cancer talking about an enemy inside. What about King David? Bible commentaries suggest that for King David, this psalm may be linked to a financial situation where he'd given an unpopular financial ruling in order to fund the temple, so that he had very real enemies to deal with, as well as a lot of emotional pain. This makes sense if we look at verses 4 and 5. He says, I'm forced to restore what I did not steal. You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you. And he says to God of those that he has affected, Lord the Almighty, may those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me. And so he goes on in those following verses. It doesn't matter what kind of trouble we are in, Lisa's cancer, David's finances. Let's learn from King David that we need to bring it to God in its raw form, tell him how we feel, tell him what hurts, tell him that we're angry, frustrated, bruised, battered, overwhelmed, want to give up, whatever it is. So in verses 1 to 12, David states how it is before making any requests. Let's see how he then turns it to prayer in verse 13. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. David was underlyingly sure of God's salvation and love. When we are in trouble, we can doubt these truths. And it's good to be reminded, whether that's through Christian friends, the natural world, the Bible, a song, whatever reminds you of God's faithfulness. David then makes his request, and let's look at these verses closely as they are a direct comparison with the beginning of the psalm. So if you look at verses 1 and 2, it says, the waters have come up to my neck, I sink in the miry depths, goes on, the floods engulf me. Then verse 14 and 15 says, do not let me sink, deliver me, do not let the flood waters engulf me. Verse 3 says, I'm worn out calling for help. Verse 16 says, answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love. Verse 4 says, many are my enemies without cause. Verse 18 says, deliver me because of my foes. So he's taking each of those thoughts and turning it to a prayer. So David first brings the situation and then turns it to prayer. Lovely. All dealt with. But David then goes into another long and very heartfelt rant. And personally, I think if I said this stuff, especially in church, I reckon you'd tell me off. Let's look at verses 19 to 28. The whole thing is a major rant. I'm just going to pick out a few lines. Verse 19, you know how I'm scorned. All my enemies are before you. 20, I looked for sympathy, but there was none. And then talking about his enemies in verses 23 and 24. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. And then verse 28. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. Whoa! And then coming back to what I said at the beginning, they sang this to the tune of lilies. Now, lilies conjure up to me something kind of fragrant and nice. And if that wasn't enough, these verses are quoted in Jesus' life as well. Verse 7, "For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face." Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross, he endured scorn and shame for us? Verse 9, "For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me." Do you remember when Jesus turned out the money changers from the temple, and this verse is quoted? Verse 21, "They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross and they gave him vinegar on a sponge? So what is going on? This psalm is one of several that have the title of being a lament. One third of the psalms are laments. A lament is where we hold in tension a real and raw situation alongside knowing that God is faithful. It's as if we're holding in one hand the emotion and the pain, but in the other hand, faith and hope. And the lament is where the two come together. The King James Bible Dictionary defines lament as to mourn, to grieve, to weep, to wail, to express sorrow or to regret deeply, which can be expressed in torment, loud lament, and furious rage. In the Bible, we see various forms, including crying, wailing, fasting, wearing sackcloth, and writing lament poems or songs. In preparing this, I did ask myself what the difference is between grumbling and lament. Grumbling is when our grief and anguish drive us away from God, whereas lament leads us into his promises and his comfort. One commentary states that lament is a prayer expressing sorrow, pain, or confusion, and should be the chief way that Christians process grief in God's presence. But because many Christians have grown up in churches that always look on the bright side, lament can feel jarring. And some of us may have grown up in families where we've had to keep our emotions locked away. Yet God is a God of emotion. The shortest verse in the whole Bible is "Jesus wept." Another commentary said that to be in genuine relationship with God, we will have to wrestle with him sometimes. An authentic relationship comes with real honesty in the good times and in the bad. God longs to be in genuine, authentic relationship with us, and the Bible affirms that God will stay faithful to us, even when we question. He promises to remain with us always. Because questions and doubts are a natural part of faith, they are not sin. That's liberating, isn't it? And opens the door for us to be honest with God about our pain. It's okay to question God. Job in the Bible said, "Why did I not perish at birth, come forth from the womb and expire?" Jesus on the cross said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" So how do we do it? How do we lament? Laments in the Psalms most often move through four stages. Turning, that is when we're ready, turning to God with whatever it is and bringing it in its raw form. complaining, asking, and trusting. Trusting is making an expression of trust. God, I don't get it. I don't understand. But I know that you are good. I know that you're in control. I know that you love me. I choose to trust you. Remember the two hands, the grr and the faith coming together. Honest grief and biblical hope held together before God. Lament is important and should be a part of our regular prayer life. How we deal with suffering will profoundly impact who we become. It's easy in our lives for prayer to become a duty or a routine, but could this be because we feel awkward being totally real with God? Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. That's John 16:33. Or do we have an assumption that because God already knows what we think and feel, what's the point of saying it? Though I would liken that to a husband and wife not talking deeply. If our car goes for its MOT and Andrew comes back really grumpy, I pretty much know what happened. But what if he didn't tell me? If he just shut me out of his feelings? Lament is about bringing our deepest feelings to God. King David wrote songs and poems to help him to lament. A private journal can help to get thoughts and feelings up and out. Talking therapy is recognized as being helpful and important, and Andrew and Lisa mentioned that. It's really a case of whatever works for you. John 16:33 again, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But he went on to say, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Sometimes I take a bit of my rant to God and then pray. And maybe I think I can't rant anymore because I've been there and done that. Dealing with big stuff is often like peeling the layers off an onion. We peel off one, we think we've dealt with it, but there's more. We need to be real with God and carry on bringing the thing to him for however many onion layers there are. So what do? Take the rant to God? Or to people? Or do we stuff our feelings down? If we stuff our feelings down, the feelings destroy us on the inside, because this stuff is poisonous. If it's inside us, it lives on and festers and breeds. So let's learn from David, because these verses teach us how to process our deepest feelings. For David, having got the whole of the rant out, the remainder of the psalm shows David in the trusting phase. From verses 29 to the end, I'm just going to highlight a couple of these. Verse 29, but as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. Verse 33, the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them. Coming back to Lisa, after a time she and Mark, her partner of 20 years, started coming to the evening services here at St. Patrick's. In April 2019, while Lisa was an inpatient, Mark and Lisa were married in the Royal Marsden Hospital Chapel. And as soon as Lisa was well enough, they had a service of blessing here at St. Patrick's with their wedding reception in the old church hall. Andrew was still working at the Marsden at the time and was able to visit Lisa at times when nobody else was allowed to. He gave her a Bible. Lisa died in August of 2019. I was very sad, but so relieved that by then she'd worked through her anger with God and accepted, very reluctantly, but accepted where she was at. She had discovered which were the most important elements of her life, and Jesus, and being honest with him, was very definitely one of them. And what about Ben? Ben has been fairly well following cancer treatment. He got married and had a baby. And then we heard a few weeks ago that they found more precancer cells in his gut, and he has to have major surgery in 6 weeks' time. When he told us, I had nothing to say. It's not what I want for my son. And for several days, my heart simply hurt physically because I'm so sad. Have I processed this with God yet? Lamented? No, not yet. I think that often with grief, there is a delay while we come to terms with the reality of a situation before we're even ready to lament. Though I'm not sure on that one. I'm working on it. Is there something that you need to lament? Are you ready to lament? Can you set a time to do it? A time when you've got time and you can be private? Can you put it in your calendar? Let's pray. Jesus, I know that I, for one, was not brought up to deal with stuff. I was brought up to not share my emotion. And I'm only just learning, and I think because most of us here are British, we're probably all learning. And Jesus, we all do deal with such hard stuff. Lord, you said that we will encounter hard times. Thank you for your promise that you are bigger and stronger than all of that, and that we can bring the reality to you, and that you love us. Lord, for each of us here, I want to just say, Jesus, please help. Amen.